If you will take your Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10. We've been going through this passage of scripture for several weeks now. I believe this will be the fifth week, technically speaking. But it's been a joy to kind of discover these things. And I hope that it's been a blessing to you to think about this statement that the Lord makes in verse 12 when he says that these things doth the Lord thy God require of thee. And you know, that's just a thought to put in our minds and to see what it is that God wants from us in our lives. So if you found your place there in Deuteronomy chapter 10, if you kindly stand out of love and respect for the word of God, if you are physically able, Deuteronomy chapter 10. And we're going to read responsively. That means y'all will read with me on the even verses out loud, and I will read by myself out loud on the odd verses, beginning together in verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord, and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also, with all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is God of gods, and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty, and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. He is thy praise, and he is thy God, that hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude. Well, here we are in Deuteronomy in chapter 10. And, you know, it's something that, as I hope that we're going through this, you're understanding and you're kind of marinating. I like that word better than meditating, because it just gives that food sense that there's a piece of meat soaking in wonderful juices of stuff and becoming better. You know, that's what I want to be in my life. I'm just a piece of meat trying to marinate in God's love. Amen. And to become better. But I hope that you're getting and taking in these ideas as we expand and look to the scriptures for what God has for us concerning these things. Because you can look at it at just little phrase as just little phrases by saying, and now, Israel, in verse 12 here, in Deuteronomy chapter 10, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? I hope that you've taken some time just to chew on that. That it's not about us, folks. And I was telling somebody about church the other day. Church is not about you. It's not what you can get out of church. That's not what it's for. You don't come here to get helped, if you will, or come here for this or for that. You come here for God. This is his house. It's his day. It's his word. He's the one that's almighty. He's the one to be magnified. He's the one to be worshipped. We get to serve him, not him serve us. You see, church has become so backward. People go to church to see what they can get out of church. Entertain me. Make me feel good. I want to feel like I've worshipped God today. Why do you get a say in the matter? God's the one that's to be worshipped. He's the one that should feel like he's been worshipped today, not like I'm the one that's been worshipping God. You see, we've got to understand that these are the things that the Lord thy God doth require of thee. God says, Not the mean old preacher says. Not the closed-minded independent Baptist church says. But these are the things that God says. God says these things. God requires these things of us. And the first one, and just this is just a quick recap here. The first one is that we ought to fear the Lord thy God. Folks, He deserves our reverence, our respect, our fear. He is Almighty God. He's not the man upstairs. He's not your buddy. He's not, hey God, gimme. He is Almighty God. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget. Don't ever let that slip your mind. That God is to be feared. And then He says to walk in all His ways. You know, the ways of God are safe ways. They are perfect ways. They are righteous ways. They are protected ways. God is not going to guide us into something that's bad for us. You say, but Pastor, sometimes the path of life in the perfect will of God leads us to things that are difficult, leads us to things that are hurtful and things. Yes, but you know what? As I was taught as a kid, if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. Some of these things that God puts in our lives are to get the dross off of us. To chip away at the things that need to be chipped away at. And to form us and to create us into what He wants us to be. And guess what? It's for our benefit. And it's for our good. All things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to His purpose. You say, but I've had a loved one die. It's working together for good. Well, I've got cancer. It's working together for good. I lost my job. It's working together for good. Don't think of it as bad. Think of it as good. It's God's purpose in your life. Therefore, it is good because He is good. And we're to walk in all His ways. And the Bible even tells us that if we have this attitude, His ways are not grievous. They're not grievous. I was just telling someone recently about fences. Boundaries that God puts up in our lives. They are not bad. Boundaries are not bad. This world today and this worldly humanistic philosophy will try to tell you that boundaries are bad. Don't put boundaries in kids' lives. You'll restrict their creative juices. You bet I'm going to restrict their creative juices. Because they don't need to be thinking about some things. They don't need to be doing some things. They need to be restricted. I just remember back to when I was a teenager. And for all of you that have been talking to my mother lately, don't listen to half of her stories. Now listen. Boundaries are good. Boundaries are for your benefit. Boundaries are so that you can abide safely, joyfully, productively in God's world. That's what boundaries are. Boundaries are good. Kids, you listen to me. Your mom and dad's boundaries, they're good. And your moms and dads, they know what they're talking about. They do know you. They do know what's best for you. Yes, they were teenagers and children themselves. They know what's best. Boundaries are good. To walk in all His ways. Then He says, and to love Him. This seems so simple and so simplistic. But it's probably one of the hardest things to do is to love God more than anything else. Because guess what our number one love is? Me. We all love ourselves, don't we? That's hard to give up. It's hard to set that aside and love God more. You know, we need to learn to love the Lord our God. We need to learn to love Him. And we talked about 1 John in chapter 4 and how we love Him because He first loved us. We need to learn to love our God and to love Him with all of our being. Then He goes on to say, and he says, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And last week we talked about what that meant to serve God. Not just to obey for Him, obey Him and to do the things that He says and to, if you will, work for Him. But it's more than that. It's that we worship Him in all of those things. That we serve the Lord our God with all of our heart and with all of our soul. God deserves to be served. He does. He is the master. We are the servants. You understand how that works, right? That's how it is. He is the almighty being. There is none above Him. There is none over Him. He is the one, and we are the creation. We are the servants. We are the ones under Almighty God. And we need to behave ourselves in such a fashion. Sometimes we think that we're the ones that should be served. As if we're anything special. No. You know, in our day and time, it seems like the family unit is all out of whack. And whatever whack is, we need to figure it out and get it back in. Okay? The kids think that they're to be served. Not in my house. Uh-uh. No, and you know what? Along with that family unit being all out of order, guess what our world is? All out of order. You know, some of you are very accomplished in your careers and your positions, etc. And you know what? As maybe older, mature adults, you've been through the process of life. You know, where you started out with nothing and you ate rice and beans. You know, and you didn't have, you know, hardly two pennies to rub together to make a nickel. You know, just whatever it took. But you came through a progression. And now maybe you have a little bit of financial freedom and you might have a little bit of something, maybe a nicer home to live in and nicer vehicles, and you have a stable job and you might have a pension. That's wonderful. But through the course of life. And then these kids coming out of high school and going into college, you know what they want? They want all of that that took all that progression to get to on their first job. What have you done? Nothing. You know, but everything's in upheaval in our world. Do you understand this? This is what I'm trying to point out, is that we don't think we have to serve God, or we don't think we need to serve God. But yet God says, I require of you to serve me with all your heart and all your soul. You know what that means? Surrender. Submission. Saying, God, I give up. And I've already talked to you before about how silly some of these religious crowds are that have these bumper stickers that say, God is my co-pilot. I'm sorry, that's silly. In fact, it's flat wrong. God's the pilot. He should be flying your plane. Not you. We're to serve the Lord our God. So that draws us to chapter 10 and verse 13. As we move along in these things that God is requiring of His people, called by His name, whom He chose. He says this, to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, by which I command thee this day for thy good. Question mark. You ever notice that there? Moses is asking a question. He says, because if you notice, did you see this sentence started out in verse 12? And now, Israel, what? There's the question, right? What doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. So you understand, he gives the answer in the question. So it's one of those rhetorical questions. It's one of those informative questions where he says, hey, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? And you know what? By the way, I'm going to go ahead and put a conjunction here and a bunch of commas so that you can understand what the Lord doth require of you, so that it's not just a question, it's the question and the answer. Folks, God doesn't work in these hidden ways, if you will, to where he doesn't tell us what to do and how to respond and how to act. God's not that kind of a being. He's up front. He says, look, here I am. I'm God. Fear me. Walk in my ways. Love me. Serve me. Keep all my commandments. And guess what? I'll tell you what. I'll give you a bonus. Here they are. I'll let you see them. I'll let you have them. I'll let you read them. I'll let you hear about them from my teachers and prophets and preachers, and I'll give them to you so you can have them and so we can have a great relationship together. You know, the Bible says that God is willing that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's not hiding salvation from people. He wants all to be saved. And guess what? Once you find salvation in Jesus Christ, he wants all to live a Christian life. He wants all of us to be holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. He wants all of us to fear him. He wants all of us to love him. He wants all of us to walk in all his ways. He wants all of us to serve him with our whole heart and with all of our soul. And he gives us the equipment. He gives us the resources. He gives us the Holy Spirit of God that indwells the believer to accomplish these things. Hey, he even said himself through Jesus Christ in Matthew 28 that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I love that hymn. How it says, and he walks with me. And he talks with me. Does he? Do you know him? Do you love him? Do you serve him? Do you fear him? Do you walk with him in all his ways? Well, the culmination of those things is what's mentioned here in verse 13, in my opinion. That if we fear God, and we walk in all his ways, and we love him, and we serve him with all of our heart and all of our soul, then we will keep his commandments. We will. The Bible tells us that obedience is better than sacrifice. The Bible tells us that these are things that we should do. That we can do. Did you know you can follow the commandments of God? You can follow his statutes. You have the ability to do these things. And God wants you to. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 78. What a wonderful passage of scripture. We don't have the time to go through all of these verses. There are 72 of them. You know how long it took me to get through 176 of Psalm 119. A year and a half. We only have a few minutes this morning. So we'll just do 11 verses. How about that? Look at the first 11. He says this, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. If we're going to be successful in keeping the commandments of God, we must open our ears. And you know what? We must even tune our ears to hear. You know, sometimes people don't want to hear. Do not forget, those of you that may not know me very well, I am the father of 12 children. Okay? I understand that people do not want to hear. I have children that say, oh, I didn't know you said that. Some of you that have one child or two children have heard that before. I know that to the 12th degree. Amen? And if we'll be honest, haven't all of us had selective hearing from time to time? Husbands, watch out. You might get poked here. We do, don't we? What does David say here? He says, don't just hear my law, but do what? Incline. Tune it. Tune it to hear his voice. Hey, we ought to be in expectation of what God is trying to say to us. We ought to be trying to hear him instead of not trying to hear him. Instead of stopping up our ears, or instead of turning our ears away from him, we ought to turn them toward him saying, God, what can I do? What are your laws? What are your commands? How can I follow them? What? You understand the attitude? It's a difference in attitude. Jesus says in the New Testament, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, that's attached to what he just said before in Deuteronomy 10. Fear God, walk in all his ways, love him, serve him, and now keep his commandments. They're all together. They work together. They support one another. As we continue on, he says, I will open the words, I'll open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord in his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. And I love this verse. This is kind of one of these next two verses are kind of the meat of things here for us in keeping his commandments. You see, God says we're supposed to make them known. We've heard them. We've heard that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children. He established a testimony. He commanded our fathers that we should make them known to their children. Look what it says. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. That's a heritage, folks. You know, when I was principal of a Christian school, I'd sit down and I'd meet with the families. We had a handbook, a way to live, you know, things to do and things not to do, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I looked at the parents and I said, this is not just for your children. This is for you. You ought to live this way. And you ought to behave this way. Because you're an example. Because if the home is going this direction and the church and the school are going this direction, guess what that causes? Confusion. And the kids don't understand that. But when the home and the church and the school are all going in the same direction, guess what we have? Unity. We have success. He says here that, hey, that these generations to come should arise and declare them to their children, and to their children, and to their children, and to their children, and to their children. And here it is right here. Look at it. Verse 7. That they might set their hope in God. Unfortunately, the reason why kids grow up in a good church, in a good home, maybe a good Christian school, graduate and leave it all behind. We always wonder why. We just need to look in the mirror. Most of the time, it's because of our negative example. because of inconsistencies, where what we said didn't match up with what we did. And the kids see it as a farce. They see it as a fake, as a fraud, and they say, I don't want any part of that. We need to understand that God's serious about this. He says, hey, if you live this way, if you live by these things, if you do these things and show them to your children that they might know them, that they should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. You see, this is all connected. This all works together to accomplish a purpose. God wants us to do these things. He says, these are the things that I require of thee to keep His commandments. On Sunday nights, we've been studying through the book of Nehemiah. Remember back to Nehemiah chapter 1, where Nehemiah was in his prayer as he was burdened by the news of Jerusalem being burned down and a disgrace and a reproach amongst the nations. He says in verse 4, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy from them, for them that love him and observe his commandments. Nehemiah started that way. And then he says this, let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes be open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out into the uttermost part of heaven, yet I will gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. What is he saying? Saying we haven't kept your commandments. We've forsaken them. God, you said you'd scatter us abroad if we didn't. And guess what? You did. And now here we are. Now, God, you said if we'd come back to you, if we'd keep your commandments again, that you'd redeem us, you'd rescue us, you'd bring us back. And guess what? God answered Nehemiah's prayer. Folks, listen to me. Just because we do not regard God and His commandments today doesn't mean that we can't regard them tomorrow. You can go back. Maybe you're not living the way you should. Maybe you're not following God's guidelines as you should. That's not the end of the story. Maybe things aren't right this time of your life. They can be tomorrow. They can be today. Today's not over yet. We can come back to Him. We can restore that relationship. Aren't you glad 1 John is in the Bible? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have that opportunity. Oh yes, we may smart for the things that we have done. There may be some repercussions of the choices that we've made, just like there was for the children of Israel. But that doesn't mean that we can't turn back to God. That doesn't mean that we can't remember His commandments. That doesn't mean that we can't serve Him with all of our heart and with all of our soul. That doesn't mean that we can come back to Him, because we can. And He wants us to. He wants us to. God desires for His people to be right with Him. It's His desire. He provides forgiveness. He provides redemption. Because that's who our God is. In John 14, Jesus speaking says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, and ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." In the Word of God, we have an opportunity to notice that the Holy Spirit of God that indwells the believer never leaves the believer. But can I tell you something? It can be as if He were not there, because He is so quenched in your life, because you've shut Him down. Every time He speaks and says, "Oh, you should do this, you shouldn't do that," we say, "Be quiet, I'm going to do what I want." Until we can almost not even hear Him anymore. It's not a good way to live. We're supposed to live full of the Spirit of God, where His voice is booming in our lives, so much so that it's spilling out onto other people. That's how it's supposed to be. "And be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." There ought to be a noticeable difference in your life, because the Holy Spirit of God is so free to work, and He's so full in you, because guess what? You're keeping the commandments of God. If we choose not to keep those commandments, guess what that makes the Holy Spirit? Uncomfortable. Makes Him uncomfortable. You say, why is that? Because He's God. You know what God's comfortable with? Obedience. You know what God? You know what God's comfortable with? Holiness. You know what God's comfortable with? Righteousness. That's what God's comfortable with. You know what makes Him uncomfortable? Sin. Disobedience. Disregard. All of those things. You see, Pastor, you've been talking about these commandments of God. What are they? Folks, we don't have the time. There are many. You say, well, how about the 10? We can do 10, right? Can we keep 10 commandments? No. No, we can't. It's a shame, though, isn't it? You think we could do 10? If you'd like to look at those, they're found in Exodus, chapter 20. Let me just mention a few. "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Many times we fail at that. And you know what the number one violation of that is? Worshipping ourselves. Yeah. When we choose self over God, we're worshiping self, not worshiping God. He says, "This one, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or the likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them." We talked about that last week. And guess what we end up serving in our lives? Other gods. You say, but Pastor, I don't have any little carvings that I bow down to. No, but you have other things that you bow down to. How about, this is one of the number one things people like to bow down to. Because you'll choose this over coming to church. And you'll choose this over other things. Guess what you're doing? Yeah. You know, the Bible says money's not evil. What is it? The love of money. And guess what? We're not supposed to love other things more than we love God. You understand that these are just a few of the things that God calls commandments, statutes, judgments. Folks, we spent a whole year and a half talking about these things in Psalm 119. Let me just give you a little excerpt from 57 through 64. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. Folks, I hope you understand that we ought to follow his commandments. We should live by them. The commandments of God, the statutes of God, the judgments of God, the testimonies of God should be our lifeblood. It should just be who we are. And we should be able to say, I will not do this because God said not to. And I will do this because God said to do this. It's important. It's a requirement. It's something God expects of us. And guess what? If God expects it of us, we can do it. And if you're not doing it now, you can. You can start doing it. You can change course. You can choose to do the right thing. In 1 John 2, it says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Hallelujah. See, he says, look, if you don't follow my commandments, if you don't keep them, you can come to me. You have an advocate. Jesus Christ, your Savior, is your advocate. He says he's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. Uh-oh. And do not the truth. I'm sorry, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. We have an example. We have an advocate. We have someone that has walked this path successfully. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Guess what, folks? He's not left us without a path. He's not left us without a way to succeed. He's not left us wandering around, stabbing in the dark, trying to find the ways of God and the commandments. What do I do? I don't know. I can't. No, it's a clear, lighted path. And we can walk in them. We can obey his commandments. We can live the way that he wants us to live. We can keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes. Because you know what? They're for our good. They're for our good. God's not doing these things to punish us. He's not doing these things to destroy us. He has these things in place for our good. Just very quickly. In 1 John 5, it says, "For whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Folks, we can overcome. We can do these things. But can I just remind us that these are things that God expects. And he expects them of us reasonably. It is not unreasonable. And it is not to our detriment, but to our benefit. You see, folks, as we grow in grace and in the admonition of the Lord, as we learn the scriptures and learn to do them, and as we practice this day by day and get better in it. Listen, if you've been saved for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, you ought to be better at this than someone who's just been saved. Not worse at it. Folks, there's not a day that goes by that I might trip up and stumble. You know why? Because I'm human, just like you. But I've been saved for a very long time. So I should be getting better at this. When my children first learn to walk, even the smallest of things will trip them up and they'll fall. But as they grow, what can they do? They can overcome those obstacles more readily, can't they? Yeah. So what do we need to do as Christians? Grow. Learn. Keep his commandments more and more, day by day, as we grow in Christ. He's our example. He's our pathway. He's our light. And he's our advocate. He's the one that's standing up for us. He's the one that's done everything for us so that we can be successful if we'll just keep his commandments and show our love to him in our lives.